Today's show is brought to you by Hearst Ranch Grass-Fed Beef, available on the internet at HearstRanch.com.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food, culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. With my Below the Mason-Dixon charm, I spotlight the culture of the food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking grilling vegan style and growing food in New York State. If you're listening to Hot Grease live, we have a live call-in number. Just wanted to give you a quick reminder. Our number is 718-497-2128. So, food headlines. You know, I like to start each show with the food headlines. Mainly, it's a recap of all the stuff that I've either tweeted or talked about on Facebook. So here it is. Food headline number one. I saw Majora Carter. Some of you guys may know Majora Carter, MacArthur recipient, genius in the Bronx. Recently in the New York Daily News, there was an article about her and her partners are planning a tech startup incubator in the Bronx. Quote, unless we work hard right now to ensure that people here are participants, the tech boom is going to pass this neighborhood, she said. We want to make the South Bronx a mecca for startup tech entrepreneurs. Exciting, right? There's so much food and tech things that are going on right now. So I'm excited to see this project going on. Congratulations to Majora Carter. Spread the word. Hope to see some of my food and tech friends doing some things up in the Bronx. Another food headline. Oh, I was so excited to see this. Heritage Radio owns Kathy Ure wrote a quick blog post on Brooklyn Magazine. I love that magazine about the top. It's called the 10 best frozen desserts in Brooklyn. And I retweeted this, and the main reason why I retweeted this is because I'm doing an entire show on, well, not show, I keep saying show, an entire month on ice cream and cool treats. But she has some of my favorites. I was so inspired that I went to Brooklyn Lauder and tried their ice cream sandwiches. Brooklyn Lauder makes their own gelato. And so I think it was Thursday or Wednesday, whatever day, it was like a million degrees outside. I don't know what the hell got into me. I ran a few errands, and then I was walking around Brooklyn. When I got home, I was like wiped out. But I had this ice cream sandwich in my bag, in like a insulated ice bag. And I had it. It was great. So, yeah, if you're on the interwebs right now, you're coming to New York City and you want to check out the best frozen treats, go to brooklynmagazine.com. It's bkmag.com and check it out. 10 best frozen desserts in Brooklyn. And lastly, you know, I love to talk about Detroit here on Hot Grease. There is a guy in Detroit who's owned a grocery store for 27 years, a black man. He has the only black owned grocery store in Detroit, and probably really the only grocery stores that's left in Detroit. And the Metro Times, which is Detroit's newspaper, did a in-depth article about him. It was a huge celebration. So kudos to him. It's a lot of crazy things happening in Detroit around food, good and bad. So I'd like to keep in the know and keep you guys in the know about all the things that are happening to change the food movement in Detroit, aka Motortown. All right, y'all. So that's food headlines. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about what's growing in New York State. What's up with ag in New York State? Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. What are you gonna do?
it.
Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef. Pasture raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks, you know, don't you love to get the facts, the straight up facts and all the tidbits, particularly about food and who's growing food, where food's been growing and what type of food is being grown? In the studio today to talk, New York State Ag is King Whitestone. He is the director of the New York Field Office of USDA, the National Agriculture Stats Services. Did I screw that up?
No, you King? Did good. King Whitestone.
Yes. Yeah. Welcome, King.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I'm so excited to have you here because I love to get information and get informed about more so ag in New York State.
Sure.
So you're the stats man.
I am the stats man. I'm the director for the USDA agency here in New York. And that's what we do. We do about 400 to 500 surveys annually.
Wow.
And we collect data on all facets of agriculture.
So I think most people, when they think food, at least for me, in New York State, I think, of course, the Empire State, the Apple State, the Big Apple. I think New York State and I think about apples.
Sure.
Does New York State produce the number one? Are we number one in producing apples?
Actually, we're number two.
Oh.
We're number two behind Washington State. But that is a big part of agriculture in New York.
So apples, what else? I also, in listening or talking to some of my farm friends upstate, I didn't realize the evolution of dairy, how big New York State is in terms of dairy. And talk a little bit about, I keep hearing over the last year or so about the decline of dairy farmers. So if you could kind of give us some numbers around that, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, milk production is king, no pun intended, but it's king in New York, milk production. And we always say the way the milk industry is going, that's the mood of the farmers in the state. But actually, as far as cash receipts, when it comes to agriculture in New York, I mean, milk production and dairy products is over half is what is brought into the state from milk production. The decline that we're seeing, different factors. Number one is probably it's because of the cost to raise dairy. It's a very intense, hardworking business, and the input costs are just increasing. And the price of milk now is down where you're not making, it's not profitable. So we see a lot of the smaller milk producers belling out.
Yeah, one of my favorites, Milk Thistle. I don't know if you know them, King, but they were a mainstay in New York City farm markets, and they had a farm upstate, young farmer, but they couldn't, the cost, the operating costs.
Sure.
Do you know the actual numbers? I'm curious to know in terms of age, like the average age of, off the top of your head, of a really a dairy farmer.
You know, that's interesting because we did the census in 2007, and what that revealed is a lot of the farmers here in the state are up in age. We're talking about high 50s, mid 60s.
Oh, wow.
And so there's a lot of interest in getting new farmers and younger farmers in the business because we have that disparity of a lot of older farmers are in the business, but we don't have a lot of young ones coming up to replace them. So the average age of the farmers in New York State is high 50s, mid 60s.
Wow. And so speaking of farmers and what they're growing, I have a little cheat sheet that you gave me. I'm actually a little shocked because some of the things I was like, oh, okay, yeah, New York State. But the sweet corn, really?
Mm-hmm.
We are, okay, you're saying statewide a value of $7.1
million? $71.1 million, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
When I think corn, I always think the Midwest.
Yeah, you know, New York is an agriculture state. And, you know, when I first moved here, I'm from Texas. And so my whole perception of the state was New York City. But as I traveled the state, it really is an agriculture state. I mean, it produced close to $5 billion of agriculture production is produced in the state. 23% of the state's land is devoted to agriculture, so that's about 7 million acres.
Wow.
And there's about 36,000 farms in the state that produces a very diverse array of food products. So this is a very diverse state, and they rank nationally in quite a few crops besides apple and milk.
What and nationally, what other crops do we rank?
Actually, we're number one in pumpkins, believe it or
not.
Oh,
yeah, I think I knew that.
In vegetables. And cucumbers are number four, squash number two nationally. Believe it or not, tart cherries were ranked number four in the nation. Pears were number four in the nation. Maple syrup, which is unfortunately down this year, but we're still second behind Vermont in value when it comes to maple syrup.
What happened production. To the maple syrup this year?
The weather.
It was kind of crazy, right?
Absolutely. You get that warm winter, and you don't have those cool nights that they expect, then your production is going to be down. So unfortunately, we were down this year.
So King, this is a question that I have. I'm a person, as you know, most ag people or farmers, you often hear the term upstate, downstate, or urban, rural. Why don't we have this information, or more so people who are doing food work downstate or in New York City? I feel like there's a disconnect in actually knowing the numbers. What do you attribute that to?
Well, and that's one thing that we're trying to work on too, is getting more cooperation downstate. The big agriculture is in the western part of the state and the northern part of the state, but what we're finding out is there's a lot of agricultural production here downstate, and it's more of just being aware of knowing how to report or who to report to, because these rooftop farms that I hopefully get to visit tomorrow, they're popping up.
Yeah.
And so my whole objective is to be here to locate these operations so that we can get more data in areas such as New York City and Long Island, so that they can be represented well as well.
So speaking of data, I'm very curious to know how you collect data. I heard you say you guys do you said over 300, almost 500 different surveys a year?
Right. Right.
How do you do that? Is a farm already registered? Do you have a list? USDA knows all the folks that are farming. How does that run? And the size?
Right. We do have a list. The list has been, we've been in operation since late 1800s. So we build lists through various sources, whether we get a list from the industries themselves, like the Apple Association, the Maple Syrup Association. We get lists from different sources, and over the years we've built a list. And so we have a pretty complete list. It's not 100% complete, and that's why we continue to do list building type efforts. But what we do, we have a cooperative agreement with NASDA. And through NASDA, we hire enumerators who go out and collect data actually from the farmers. And so these surveys that we're collecting...
Oh, they're going door to door like the census?
Well, we have a sample. We tell them who to go
okay.
to.
Oh, okay.
But you bring up the census, and that's a nice segue into the census that's coming up. Because the 2012 census will be mailed out at the end of this year, December. Mm-hmm. And actually what that is, and people are familiar with the population census, but this ag census collects data from every known farm and rancher in the nation. And so that will be coming up, and we do that every 5 years, and that's the most comprehensive survey that we do. So that was a good plug for the census.
Oh, well, there we go. There we go. We're going to take a quick break, King, and come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about you know, since it's the holiday, we're going to make it light. We're going to talk about some of the New York ag stuff and ask you about your experience in Texas
that's where
and
it is.
Coming to New York State. Okay, folks, keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be back in a quick set. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.org. If you're just tuning in live, we're talking with King Whitestone. He is the director of the New York Field Office, handling all the stats. King lives in Saratoga Springs, but you're originally from Texas. What part of Texas, King?
I grew up in Houston.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Houston proper or outside of Houston?
Right in Houston.
Oh, okay. Because you know how people are. They're from like small town. They just say the next big small town, but you really are from Houston.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, 4th of July. Can you believe it's 4th of July already? It's coming up. And when I saw corn, I was like, corn. Do you remember grilling corn 4th of July? Did you do that?
Well, you know, we grilled, my father grilled everything.
Oh, okay.
So corn and kebabs and whatever, pork ribs and chicken. He just had the barrel and the charcoal, and he was known for his grilling.
Do you see that same, do you do that same thing in Saratoga Springs? Because the weather is mild there.
Yeah, it's a little different. We got those, the new grills where, you know, you just get the propane tanks and you
turn. Oh, you're doing it like
that,
kid?
Yeah, we do it. I guess it's the easy and the lazier way, but I know it took work the way my dad grilled. I mean, he had to marinate the meat the night before and, you know, soak it all up and then put it on. It seemed to be hard work. Now you just turn the propane tank on, let it heat up, and you go at it.
Do you remember? I have to ask you if you remember this, and then I have to go by this. What about pig production in or hogs in New York State? Is that a big?
Not a big industry here in New York. Of course, North Carolina is pretty big, and down south, but New York is not known for their pig production. They do. We do produce a few. I think around 55,000, if I'm not mistaken. I have to look at those numbers, but it's not a huge industry in New York.
So I'm trying to think. You probably would know what food that you remember at the 4th of July or the summer months, the grilling months, that are big in New York State that are also big in the South?
Let's see. As far as, I mean, you know, it's funny because in New York, you know, corn is grown, and soybeans and things like that, they're grown, but they're more for the dairy industry. Now when you go to the Midwest, I mean, you have these, you know, a lot of livestock, a lot of cattle, a lot of, you know, so you're making a lot of steak, you're grilling a lot of ribs, and so it's just because of the so many people in that area that are producing these type of commodities, that they're eating more out there. It's just a more focus out that way more than it is in New York State, where milk, like I said, is king, and that's what they focus on a lot out in this area.
So last but not least, I have to ask you about ice cream before I let you go. Dairy, New York, ice cream, Texas. Is Blue Bonnet, I always think Texas when I hear that.
You know, Bluebell ice cream.
Bluebell, that's
Bluebell.
It.
Yeah, I was raised on Bluebell ice cream. I can't find Bluebell ice cream in the East Coast, but I'm still looking for it. I mean, my wife always talked about Bluebell. The commercial was Bluebell was the best ice cream in the country, but we didn't know any better because we're both from Texas. So that's the commercial they ran. Now you come up here and you can think it's Edie's, and then
I usually have some of the. I'm ashamed to tell you how much I pay for ice cream. A little small pint. I was with a friend the other day, like the gelato I was mentioning in my first segment. Yeah. The ice cream bar is like $5. It's like this big.
Right.
So I'm usually getting it from all these people that are getting milk from very, very small producers or making small batch stuff.
Yeah. Well, so, gelato's is out in my area too, in Saratoga. Yeah, it's pretty good ice cream.
Yeah, Saratoga has a lot of good food stuff going on there.
Yeah, they're getting ready for the horse races, so they got a lot of nice.
You know my favorite, before I let you go, you know my favorite place since I went to Hattie's.
Oh, yeah, you got the chicken.
I got the chicken at Hattie's. That's a great place. I was dying to go there, and I went to a Mexican place in Saratoga Springs. That's on the main strip.
Yeah,
it was really good.
Figured that one out. I hadn't had the Mexican food there in Saratoga, but
it was good, and I can't find good Mexican food anywhere. I must say that was some good food.
Well, next time you're out, you make sure you look me up.
So, King, thank you so much. We should have you on the show regularly to kind of give an update. Maybe after the 2012 census and we get the numbers from that, you can come back and give us a snapshot.
Yeah, and I asked that if you are a farmer and you are producing agriculture, that you go to our website, www.agcensus.usda.gov, and register your operation so that you're counted. Because this census of agriculture, like I said, it's the most comprehensive and important survey that we do, because a lot of decisions are made based on that data. So I encourage all the farmers to register and sign up for that particular survey.
All righty, folks, you heard it right here. King, thanks so much.
Thank you for
coming
me.
On High Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Listeners, we'll be back. We're going to talk grilling vegan style. Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by myself and Jack Inslee and being engineered today by Joe G. This program is being sponsored by Hearst Ranch. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks, we're what, 4 days? More than 4 days, a week away from 4th of July. And I love to have repeat guests on the show. And today I have John, the author of Grilling Vegan Style. John, welcome back to Hot Grease.
I am so excited to be back with you and your listeners. This is going to be fun.
I'm totally excited. You have a new book out, 125 Fired Up Recipes to Turn Everybody into a Backyard Barbecue. Again, it has vegan on the title, but hey, folks, ignore that. I love this. It's so simple and the best. I'm going to have to start first with, I love your primer in the I don't know if you want to call it primer or chapter two, where you talk about grilling tofu, or really just the ins and out of tofu and how to do it on the grill. I've never grilled tempeh or tofu. Give us the quick and dirty.
Well, you know, it was my goal with this cookbook to add sizzle to summer for everybody, no matter who you are, whether you're a lifelong vegan or one of my meat-eating friends here at home in my small little town. I want everybody to enjoy this book. And yeah, I mean, tofu is actually really great on the grill. You know, I actually know a lot of vegan and vegetarians who don't like tofu, and I think it's because they just don't know how to prepare it correctly. But you know what? You put it in a great marinade. I have a whole chapter full of marinades, and you toss it on the grill, and in about 8 to 10 minutes, you have an amazing entree, snack, whatever you want it to be.
And I don't know if you were listening earlier, but folks who were listening, I had someone from USDA on talking about New York State, what grows in New York State. But we spent the last few minutes talking about his grilling memories. And actually, in the very, very beginning of the book, you talk a lot about the basics for firing up. He mentioned he uses propane. But there's so many other things that folks can use if they want to grill, types of grills. What is a hybrid grill? I see that you mentioned that a little bit in the first part of the book.
Yeah, there is actually a hybrid grill that's out there right now. Unfortunately, at this point, they're really expensive. But I think in the coming years, you're going to see them become more inexpensive and accessible to the rest of us. But, you know, in the meantime, I think people need to pick the grill that's going to best fit their needs, because there is a grill out there for everyone. Whether you're cooking on the back patio, on the boat, there's even grills for boats. There's little portable grills that you can take with you. There's even a really fantastic thing called a grill pan for those who might live in tiny apartments without a balcony or porch that they can go out on. And this is just a little skillet that has the little ridges, and so you can really get that grilling effect anywhere, anytime. But I think people have to decide what's going to work best for them.
John, you know, I think people forget a lot of times that you can actually do desserts on the grill.
Yes.
People totally. And then when you put like a pineapple or some other great peaches or something, folks are like, oh my gosh, this is so tasty. Folks really forget that grilling fruit is like the most amazing thing. You have a whole chapter dedicated to that.
That's right. And you know, one of the most popular recipes in the book that I keep hearing about from people on Twitter and Facebook is the tattooed watermelon. And I actually have it in a salad recipe, but that could easily be turned into a dessert recipe. People do not think to put watermelon on a grill. And boy, it just kicks the flavor of the watermelon, which is already great, up several more notches. But sure, you can put just about anything on the grill. Peaches and strawberries, coconut, cantaloupe, all those great things. Throw them on the grill, maybe put a little olive oil on them first, get those grill marks. You have to be careful with fruit, though, since it's a little more delicate. You need to watch it, but it's always a good rule of thumb to stick close to your grill. Grills can be very selfish. They want all of our attention. So, you know, don't plan on stepping away for too long. Stick close. But, yeah, you know, I'm all for trying everything on the grill when it comes to summer fun.
Well, let me ask you this. Should folks choose fruit that's, like, underripe, or is it okay to use something that's really juicy and ripe on the grill? What do you suggest?
You know, I think either would work, whatever you have access to, but if you're going to use the really ripe and juicy, you know, be careful because that juice heats up very fast inside and might have a habit of spitting and spattering on you, and so we don't want anyone out there to get burned. So again, just pay close attention, watch it. You know, I'm an advocate of flipping your food frequently. Maybe I just get antsy, I don't know. You know, there's two rules of thumb. Some people only like to turn certain foods once or twice. I'm constantly flipping because I want that really even grill marks on both sides. But try whatever you have, experiment and have fun with it.
And last but not least, we need something to wash all this great barbecue grill stuff down. The cocktails. Boy, what's your favorite here? What do you hear people always like, oh my gosh, what is the recipe for that, John?
Well, you know what? I have to go back to watermelon again. There, I have a recipe called the watermelon bikini, which is really it's a great martini using watermelon juice, vodka, a little bit of cranberry juice, some pineapple juice, and of course you garnish it with some more watermelon. People are going crazy. Watermelon really is one of those official fruits of summer, so we best get as much use out of it while we have it.
John, thank you for coming on Hot Grease. You know, you're always welcome here. Folks, if you're listening, grilling vegan style, 125 fired up recipes to turn everybody into a backyard barbecue is in bookstores on IndieBound. Go there. And John, you're on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle for all the folks who are listening live?
It's at John Schlim.
There you go. John Schlim on Hot Grease. John, have a great 4th of July and a great summer.
Oh, you too. Thanks for helping me add sizzle to everybody's summer.
There you go. Listeners, thank you for listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can join me here live every Monday at 3:30, or check me out via iTunes or all the other ways that you check us out via archives. But until then, always remember to take the road less traveled.
My own beliefs are in my song. A banker, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.